Good morning, Faith Community United Methodist Church. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very good. It's good to be with you here on this Veterans Sunday before Veterans Day, which is up on Tuesday, I believe. I just want to get us prepared. There is going to be a veteran speaking to us briefly, just to, as we honor our veterans today with that. Also, I just want to kind of get in our minds to understand that, you know, the sacrifices that our veterans make, it is one that many of us don't even truly understand. But that also gives us a way to look into the fact that we also have a Savior who put sacrifice to the ultimate level in a way for all of us to appreciate even more. So as we think about the sacrifices veterans make, think even more about what our Lord and Savior has done for us as we worship this morning. I think that is a way for us to kind of put the two together and understand that there is a relationship on how we understand sacrifice that we have in our lives and for our lives. We have some announcements I want to bring up. There's several here for you to look at, but please look at the ones that pertain to you if I don't cover them. I want to mention today is Coins for Missions, so be prepared for when our kids come up to be ready for that. Mary and Martha is meeting tomorrow, so if you are a part of that, looks like you have some Operation Christmas Child boxes that need to be returned, so bring those with you. St. Paul's Christmas ornament or tree is out there. It is going to look a little bit different, I think, next week, I'm told, but there is tags for you to take, so let's be in that mindset of we're shifting to a new season that we're entering into, and this is a season of giving, being first Thanksgiving, but then also giving. So make sure you take one of those with you as you go. Also want to mention, we're still looking for nursery care help. If you are 18 or older and would like to partner up with others in the church to take a Sunday to be part of our nursery care, we'd appreciate that. We're having a hard time actually getting a single person to do that because then they're not part of worship any Sunday. So if we can get people to sign up for that, I do have to say per our Safe Sanctuary policy, there is a background check that the church does through our database software. It's simple. It just needs a little bit of information for us to enter that, but that is part of how we keep our children safe in our church setting. I also just want to remind those that are Shawnee mentors, we're having a meeting Thursday at 1:30, somewhere around there, that we are going to get together to try to see how we might be able to celebrate with our mentees for the holiday season. So that is something for us to be coming together for. I think that's good enough for right now. Let us prepare ourselves. It's 1 o'clock for the mentors meeting. I have been corrected. It says 1:30 in there. 1 o'clock. All right, let us prepare for worship as we receive the prelude from our Father.
Please stand as you are able for our call to worship. Inhale the bounty of God's peace.
Surrender is the gift of the presence of God.
Serenity is the treasure that comes from God's Spirit.
Through the love of God, we find our rest.
Now exhale all that resists the blessings of God.
Justice and kindness spring from the heart of God.
Please remain standing for our opening hymn. Hymn number 731, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Seated, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Jerry Johnson up here for our veterans moment, our reflection.
Opening prayer. Opening prayer.
Oh, opening prayer. Did I miss? Oh. I'm jumping again. Okay, but first, our opening prayer. Please join with me in the opening prayer. Divine foundation, even as tumultuous winds shake us and the floor beneath us quakes, you firmly hold us. As the world around us rattles, you erase fear from our hearts. Whether on earth or in heaven, your loving spirit endures. It pervades the limitless reaches of your creation. Lift us during times of trembling, enduring spirit, and still us during the moments of uncertainty. Amen. And now without further ado, Mr. Jerry Johnson.
Good morning. And yes, I am a veteran. Don't let the beard face you. My journey in the military began 38 years ago. However, my journey with God began much earlier. I was raised number 7 of 8 children in a Catholic household. Went to Catholic school for 8 years. During this time, I gained a strong belief of how God helps those who put their trust and faith in Him. Throughout my military career, that trust and faith was put through the test during multiple deployments, 10 of them, all over the world, and years separated from my family. I spent 4 years in Japan, and I came home twice to see my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. And I believe I came through that with a more genuine understanding of how God and why I put my faith and trust in Him to see me through everything. During deployments, it's hard to spend time to reflect on your and to speak to God. You're working a lot. You don't have a lot of time. But for me, it's the communication with my family, with my friends, that helps me get a better communication and allows me to understand that God is looking out for me and for others. I continue to this day, even after retiring from the military, to live that same way, by putting my faith and trust in God to see me through anything that life can throw at me. And I know a lot of people are the same way. I told a couple people before I came up here that I calculated the time that my dad, my brother, my sister-in-law, my wife, and I have served. It's over 120 years of military service. And that's a lot of trust in God to see us get back from all our deployments, all of our activities, to make sure we're safe and those around us are safe. And with that, I will say thank you for allowing me to come up here to spread my service to you. Thank you.
Okay, can the children come up for their children's moment? Jerry is part of our church and also serves as in our church and works on our staff. So that is something that sometimes when we talk about serving, there's many different ways to serve and be part of a church community. And you may have seen Jerry in and around the church, and he's going to be also helping a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. So that is all part of being a community. Hey, you can have it, Oreo. There you go. Yeah. And so one of the quick thoughts I had for today was our church's name is Faith Community. And one of the great parts of life and just what we do every day is being part of things that are bigger than just ourselves. We are part of our church, and we are not just sitting in pews listening to people talk. We are involved, and we help each other, and there's people here to help us in times of need, and we're
we're part of a faith community in our church. And I think that's awesome that our church is called that. We are part of a community in our surroundings, in our city, and it's in our school. And it's always fun to not just receive gifts, but to give gifts back, or not to just receive help, but give help back. And that is one of the great parts of life, is to be someone who can give help back in our community, in our church. And one of the things that we honor on Tuesday, it's called Veterans Day. And Veterans Day is every year we honor people who've given a great service, a great sacrifice, giving back to our country. Our country is another thing that we can give back to in many different ways. And there's some who've given a great sacrifice by serving in our military, in the armed services. Can anybody name a couple different of the branches of the armed services as examples? We won't have to name all of them, but let's just, if you have an example.
Army.
Is there any others? Any other thoughts? Any other armed services?
Air Force.
Can you name one more? Any other ideas? Space Force.
Navy.
And?
Coast Guard.
Marines.
Navy.
Okay. Coast Guard. All right. So what we're going to do now, before we do Coins for Mission, Nathan is really excited. He's ready to go. He's lining these up. He's ready to serve. Okay, you get that ready. All right, we are going to look out, and what we're going to do is we're going to ask people who have served or are currently serving in the armed services to rise, and we're going to just have a moment to recognize and pay our respects to their service. So if you have served in the military or armed services, please rise and stand so we can honor you. So everybody look around. And thank you all for your service. Okay, so now let's take these buckets around, and it's Coins for Mission. We're going to collect money, because this money is going back to others in need. This money is another way to give back to others and serve. Okay, thank you. So let's join with me in our prayer hymn, Spirit of the Living God, hymn number 393.
As we go into our time of prayer this morning, I have several requests for prayer this morning. It's not as usual as I always pray, but we have some needs this morning. As you know, Crystal, our custodian, she's having shoulder surgery tomorrow morning sometime, I believe. So 1:15. Surgery's at 1:15. She has to go in the morning. Surgery's at 1:15. Also, our dear friend Erica, she is at the ER right now, so we're hoping that things will be okay there. Lynn Engel is having eye surgery, or has had it. I'm not sure exactly where we're at in that. Lisa, AJ's mom, is in the ICU right now, and she is no longer responding to the treatments she's getting, so she's been transitioning over into more comfort care at this time. So we want to keep Gary, AJ, and Lisa in our prayers this morning as well. Let us go before our Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you as a people who have hope. We have that hope because of your Son, Jesus Christ. He showed that you loved us beyond anything in the world. Through your Son's sacrifice, we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are children, we are loved beyond understanding. We also have a hope of eternal life. So Lord, we just ask that you would give us hope in each and every situation that we brought up today. We know that you are always with us and you are walking alongside. You are clearing the path. You are guiding and directing. You are giving strength and encouragement. You're giving courage. All of these things you give to us. But most importantly, you give us your love. Lord, we have a hard time understanding and even coming up with words for different things that we experience in this fallen world. We know that many things cannot be explained. We see so much things that are devastating and just appalling and just all different kinds of things that makes no sense to us. And that is why we have hope in you. Because there isn't things around us that can give us any kind of hope. But through you, we have hope because of who you are and who you have shown us you are to be through your Son. So Lord, give us courage today to be a people of hope. Help us to be encouraged by those around us who have expressed what it means to serve one another as we honored our veterans today and understanding that they have been folks that have been an example of service. Help us to be there for those in need, whatever that need may be, so that we can truly share your love with others and show them that the hope is alive in each and every one of us. Regardless of what we experience and go through, we know we have life in you, life now, life eternal. Let us come together with one voice, sharing that we have this confident hope in a Lord that redeems and saves. Let us share the Lord Jesus prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we are the hope of our community. We have something that many of them do not have. It is through us that we are able to share that hope we have. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? join in this prayer of dedication. Faithful God, the one who stands with us in ruins and renewals alike, may your compassionate care continue to rain down on us. As we bring our offerings, we remember not only what was, but we dare to believe in what will be. Use these gifts to rebuild your beloved community and lives made whole, relationships restored, and justice pursued. May your peace dwell richly in what we offer and how we live, that the glory of this house, the people called by your name, might truly shine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Bell Choir. That was beautiful. Okay. Now for our scripture reading. If I'm smiling while I read this, it's because somewhere Julie Wickline is smiling because I got some tough pronunciations on this one. She says she always gets the ones with tough pronunciations. Our scripture reading is from Haggai chapter 1, verses 15b. To chapter 2, verse 9, the future glory of the temple.
In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not your sight in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. The word of God for the people of God.
Last Sunday, we remembered and honored our saints who have transitioned to the church triumphant. With them as our cloud of witnesses, we opened our minds and our hearts to how they might encourage us who are still among the missional church of Jesus Christ. Last week, using Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul and the saints triumphant encouraged us to be assured by the Holy Spirit of our inheritance in Christ, to actively respond in faith to the Spirit's powerful work, and to trust in Christ's authority and follow Him. So I urge all of us to be encouraged in our faith in Jesus Christ, and more so, to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to be faithful to the Lord's mission and ministry. 10 days ago, I attended Bishop Jung's Multiply Ohio event along with Kirk Henning, Carla Skaggs, and Betsy Murray. This event was by invitation to the larger churches in the conference districts. Bishop Jung has a vision for the Ohio Episcopal area, that's East and West Ohio conferences. In his first year, which ended in September, our bishop, he came to us and he shared he wanted to determine how to bring East and West Ohio conferences together as one conference for Ohio. The work to accomplish this is underway and will continue for the next 2 years before we would vote in 2027, I believe, in the annual conference to begin the next quadrennium in 2028 as a single conference representing Ohio. Now, as we enter into Bishop Jung's second year, he is sharing his vision for Ohio to be united in the work of multiplication, hence the name of the event we attended being Multiply Ohio. The grand vision is to establish 100 new faith communities, not necessarily churches, across the 10 districts of Ohio by the end of 2029. Doing the math, that is 2.5 new faith communities per district per year. We were given this definition that'll be on the screen for you of multiplication to help us to capture the vision. Multiplication is more than just growth. It is spirit-led, systems-supported practice of reproducing life of Christ in new people, new leaders, and new faith communities. To be agents of multiplication, the bishop invited the churches at the event to be creative, to be collaborative, and most importantly, be courageous. To get rid of a surviving attitude, to change our language from retention to recruitment, and to embrace divine-sized dreams. That's the invitation that we have from Bishop Jung. What might this mean for us? Only God knows at this point. However, I think the vision we have here at Faith Community of being a safe space for exploring faith and building community supports the bishop's vision. Our mission statement of empowering our community to meet, learn, worship, pray, and play together directs us to be agents of multiplication for Christ. What it looks like depends on our discernment of what Jesus has in store for us and also our willingness to follow Him. So today, with the assistance of the prophet Haggai, I want us to consider what steps can we courageously take toward the vision of Christ's church. The prophet Haggai was speaking on behalf of the Lord in the years following Persia's King Darius's edict to allow the Israelite exiles to return to Jerusalem. Their homes and holy temple were destroyed years earlier by King Nebuchadnezzar's raids, which led to their exile. And after 70 years, they returned to a place of utter destruction, a wasteland of what previously was the glorious center of Israelite worship of the one true God. During their first year back, they struggled to rebuild their homes and just a means for sustaining life. As their homes were restored, God's temple remained in shambles. And the Lord, speaking through Haggai, told them, even though they didn't think it was time to focus on the temple, while they were rebuilding their lives in Jerusalem, it was time to rebuild God's house too. For a short time, the people responded in faith to the temple's renewal. But the progress, as you can imagine, was slow. And their commitment faltered. Then about 6 weeks later, the Lord spoke again to Haggai to speak to the political and spiritual leaders, as well as the remnant of the Israelites that returned from exile, to encourage them. And here Haggai shared, "Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing?" After 70 years in exile, there couldn't have been very many left that knew what it was like before. But there was at least a few, and they were likely the most frustrated and defeated as they remembered the glory days. The frustration and hopelessness grew, and that is when the Lord spoke. Why did God ask if anyone remembered the past? What might God have desired of them? Before I answer that question, let's think about this church for a moment. Over the past couple of decades, this church experienced great loss associated with denominational church decline, the end of the contemporary worship, an incompatible pastor appointment, the COVID shutdown, loss of many leaders for various reasons, and disaffiliation fallout. We may not be coming back from exile to utter destruction of what was, but those who remain through all that occurred recognize what was from what is today. How many are left? that remembered when this church was filled for multiple worship services each week. Who can't forget the voices of a choir that filled the whole chancel? Who was here during the days of a flourishing preschool? Who among you served alongside other churches during Common Cup ministry years? How about Sunday school classrooms filled with adults and children? I'm sure it was a glorious time for this church. It's now been 4 years since the end of COVID and several months since the end of disaffiliations. Like the Israelites returning from exile, we too have in many ways have been struggling to rebuild the church's presence in our community. Now let's consider God's questions spoken through Haggai. Why might God be asking us if we remember the past glory? What might God desire of us? Perhaps it is this. Take courageous steps to grieve the past and dream again. We can remember what it was like, but we can't be fixated on the church's former glory. It is natural for us to grieve our losses, so grieve. Grieve well. And remember the joy and the prosperity that those years brought the church. We also can't allow the large task that's before us to deter our current efforts toward future glory. So while we grieve, let's also remember that it was the dreams of the past that led to the glory days. Our current existence is a product of the past, the good and the bad. And the church has amazing assets because of the past glory. But now it is time to dream again. Our future glory depends on our current response to the vision for Christ's church that has been set before us, a multiplying church. Like the Israelites, we know the situation that we are in. But we must remember, so does God. Speaking to the Israelites through the prophet Haggai, the Lord moved them beyond their grief to see a future worth investment by encouraging. Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you the people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. The encouragement from God is we are not. Not only do we have administrative leadership, discipleship leaders, and all our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we also have the authority of the Lord and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And the empowerment and inspiration of the Spirit. We don't have to look around for permission to do the work. We are being deployed for the mission and ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. Our mission outposts, speaking military language, our mission outpost happens to be stationed here at 100 Country Club Drive in Xenia, Ohio. But our reach beyond this point is determined not by us. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the workforce. God says simply, work, for I am with you. Take courageous steps to participate in the present work with the Lord. The past is behind us. The future awaits. The present is when we put forth the effort to fulfill our dreams and visions of a future glory. I don't know about you, but I can feel an energy around us that I'm attributing to God's work. God is active in the church, in our community, and all of the world, our role is to join in the work of salvation. There are people everywhere who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Some don't even know that Jesus exists. Let's join in the work of multiplication. In order to do the work of multiplying Ohio, we have to transform our scarcity mindset when we take inventory of our current situation. The Israelites, trust me, they struggled with scarcity just like we do today. It's not a new phenomenon. But the Lord calls the people of God to see things from God's perspective, not our own. So the Lord, speaking through Haggai, assured the faithful workforce, "Once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations so that the treasures of all nations will come. And I will fill the house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." The Lord reminds us that God's work reaches far beyond anything that we can see. And the implications are eternal. Theologians suggest the reference to the treasures of all nations will come is a prophecy to the Israelites of the coming Messiah's work of salvation for all people. The work we are doing is God's work, not simply for Faith Community United Methodist Church's continued existence. We need to accept that the work we are called has greater implications, which hopefully provides inspiration for participation. Because this is God's work. God is investing all the Lord's resources. The encouragement for God is this: take courageous steps to trust in the Lord's provisions. How these resources are generated and where they come from for our use in the work of multiplication is not our worry. If we are doing God's work, then the resources will come. Our highest priority should be discerning God's will, not determining if we think we have enough. Friends, our work is for the future glory and the fullness of God's presence as we come together with all the saints to live in the house of God forever. This is the splendor that awaits us. But now it is time to take courage to follow Jesus and His mission and ministry to all the world. Let's be courageous together. Let's take those steps to grieve the past and dream again. Commit to participating in the present work alongside with the Lord and trust that the Lord's provisions are there. We'll be there as we do our part to multiply Ohio and the whole kingdom of God, as the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, leads us. So may our eyes and our hearts be focused on the grand divine vision as we simply work to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community right here, and see where the Lord takes us. Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn. Hymn number 664, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.
be encouraged to be courageous. Because it is with courage that we are able to take the world by storm and share the love of Christ with all the world. Take what you need from the worship that you have been given and take it out with you and share the love of Christ. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.